This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and you are tuned into Enterprise this morning. Now, to get the ball rolling today, not too long ago, Angeline Tay managed to sit down with marketing guru David Meerman Scott, who followed the US presidential elections for 18 months. In fact, he followed the candidates around for 18 months. He looked at the way in which they use different methods to speak to their potential voters. He talks about how he managed to get a selfie with Hillary Clinton. But more importantly, he talks about how this, the election campaign of last year, is potentially one of the best marketing case studies ever. Angeline, take it away.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon and TV personality capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory. Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen.
I came across an article on the Forbes. I know we're a bit late into this game because the U.S. presidential election happened last year. And you mentioned that this election is the best marketing case study ever at the Inbound 16 event in Boston.
Yes.
Why so?
It is the best marketing case study I've ever seen. Why? Because everyone expected Donald Trump to lose. And no one even took him seriously. All of the professionals, all of the marketing people, all of the other members of the media, nobody took Donald Trump seriously. But I started to follow very closely the entire presidential election from the very beginning, back in about May of 2015. And then the election was in November of 2016. So about 18 months before the election, I started to follow it very closely. I did the same thing every 4 years. So I did it with Obama and you know, follow the election, because I think it's really important for marketers to follow. And I realized very early that Donald Trump is doing things differently. He's using real-time communications. He's using Twitter as a very important tool of his campaign. Everybody else had been using Twitter, and people have been using Twitter since 2008. President Obama was the first candidate to use Twitter.
Do you talk to anyone before you tweet? And is there anyone in the White House who can say to you, Mr. President, please don't tweet that, who you would listen to?
Well, let me tell you about Twitter. I think that maybe I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Twitter, because I get such a fake press, such a dishonest press. I mean, if you look at, and I'm not including Fox because I think Fox has been fair to me, but if you look at CNN and if you look at these other networks, NBC, I made a fortune for NBC with The Apprentice. I had a top show where they were doing horribly, and I had one of the most successful reality shows of all time. And I was on for 14 seasons. And you see what happened when I'm not on. You saw what happened to the show. It was a disaster. I was very good to NBC, and they are despicable. They're despicable in their coverage. CBS, ABC, you take a look at what's going on. I call it the fake press, the fake media. It is a disgrace what's happening. So,
but then they say to you, but you're, I mean, as you know, the response, look, so you had this big speech to the joint session on Tuesday. You had great press all week, bipartisan. And then you let off this tweet, and immediately people say,
no, it wasn't that tweet. They had other things.
You can't back up what you say.
Excuse me. I had a very successful night, joint session. It was
right?
Very successful. I got reviews even from people that I would never think I was going to get good reviews. I got great reviews.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they came up with a new dialogue in order to kill that. So that speech was hot for about 2 or 3 hours after the speech was made, because they came up with other things having to do with other people that they shouldn't have been able to do and they shouldn't have done. But they did it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the news is not honest, much of the news. It's not honest. And when I have close to 100 million people watching me on Twitter, including Facebook, including all of the Instagram, including POTUS, including lots of things. But we have, you know, I guess pretty close to 100 million people. I have my own form of media. So, you know, if I tweet 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, and if most of them are good, and I really want them all to be good, but if I make one mistake in a month, Now, this one, I don't think is going to prove to be a mistake at all.
Do you think it's okay to make? Because sure. the counterargument, sure. even from people who support you, who say, look, I support Donald Trump, I believe what he believes, and I want him to succeed badly, but if the president says something that cannot be proved or is demonstrably untrue,
well, let's see whether
he devalues his own currency.
Let's see whether or not I proved it. You looked at some proof. I mean, let's see whether or not I prove it. I just don't choose to do it right now. I choose to do it before the committee, and maybe I'll do it before the committee. Maybe I'll do it before I see the result of the committee. But I think we have some very good stuff, and we're in the process of putting it together, and I think it's going to be very demonstrative. But just on Twitter, if I don't do that, I won't get my word out. Because when I say things, the press doesn't cover it accurately. They cover it very inaccurately, much of the press. Some of the press, by the way, some of the finest people I know are reporters. Reporters are wonderful. I'm talking about the fake media, the fake news. And there's a lot of fake news. So if I'm not going to, if they're not going to do me the honor and the public the honor of spreading my word accurately as it was meant, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's been nobody in history that got more dishonest media than I've gotten. You look at some of the stories in the New York Times. You look at some of the stories in the Washington Post. Take a look at what's going on with CBS and NBC in particular, and ABC. And take a look at CNN. It's a complete hit job. No matter what you do, no matter how good, no matter how great it is, they don't report it in a positive fashion. So when I can reach, whether it's 90 million or 100 million or 80 million, however many people it may turn out to be when you add everything up, and then, of course, it gets disseminated from there. When I can reach that many people, Twitter is a wonderful thing for me because I get the word out.
Does it ever go through any kind of mediator?
Sure it does. Sure.
Sometimes
I'll have something and I'll say, what do you think about this? A lot of times my staff comes to me and they say, could you do a tweet on this or that because it's not being shown correctly. I mean, they'll come to me a lot and they'll say, could you do, I probably wouldn't be here. I'm not talking about Twitter because it's really Twitter, Facebook, and lots of other things, okay? But I might not be here talking to you right now as president if I didn't have an honest way of getting the word out.
People have been using it for a while, but mainly it was just kind of to say, here's what the campaign is doing, here's what we're doing. Donald Trump was using it in real time to say things about what was happening at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Newsjacking.
Newsjacking, yeah. Donald Trump, he did. Donald Trump newsjacked Hillary Clinton during the Democratic National Convention, which is the most important part, the single most important part of the campaign for any candidate is their convention. Mm-hmm. And Hillary Clinton was giving her speech, 1 hour speech. The most important 1 hour in the entire campaign is during the convention, Democratic National Convention. And as Hillary was speaking, Donald Trump was live tweeting.
Okay.
And so he was watching her on television, and then when she would say something, he would tweet. So she said something about Wall Street, and then Donald Trump tweeted, Hillary Clinton will never reform Wall Street because she's owned by Wall Street.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
And then so he was doing this. Now, what that means is that on her very most important 1 hour of the whole campaign, as soon as she's finished with her speech, radio people would talk about what she said. Newspaper, television people would talk about what she said right away as soon as the speech is over. And then the next morning it would appear in the newspaper, and the next week it would appear in the magazines. That meant everybody then had to write what Trump said into their radio reports, into their television reports, because everyone knew that Trump was live tweeting because everyone was following real Donald Trump on Twitter. And so that's a fascinating example. And I think it's an example that all organizations, entrepreneurs, anybody can follow that same idea, is that you can find something important going on in your business and then respond to it instantly in real time like Donald Trump did.
That was Angeline Tay speaking to David Meerman Scott. Enterprise is taking a very short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You are tuned in to Enterprise. I'm Rich Bradbury. Coming up is part two of Angeline's interview with David Meerman Scott, where he followed the US presidential campaign for 18 months, saying how it was the best marketing case study ever.
So I actually went to a whole bunch of different events of these different candidates. I went to 3 Hillary Clinton events. I went to 2 Donald Trump events. I went to a Bernie Sanders event. I went to some other of the candidates' events because I wanted to see them live. I wanted to see what they do live. And I was actually in the front row for Hillary Clinton. I was in the front row for Donald Trump. It was fantastic, right? So such a geek about it.
Marketing geek. So
huge marketing geek.
What have you discovered then? You know, what is the difference between Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump's campaign? I guess when you say you went to their events.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about each one for a couple seconds. So Bernie Sanders was fascinating because Bernie Sanders, he had an incredibly passionate group but a lot of people were on the young side, millennials. So in their 20s. And the interesting thing, millennials are very, very passionate on Facebook, especially in the States, but social networks, as many social networks. But the Sanders campaign made a big mistake because they didn't leverage his popularity in the live events. Because when I saw him, people were so excited. They're so happy to be there. They're cheering. And he's like a hero to these young people at this event. But they weren't able to, the campaign was not able to translate that energy to the online world, to the social networking world. They didn't do a good job with that. And they raised a lot of money, but they spent their money on television ads and other things like that, rather than figuring out how they could work with those passionate supporters, those passionate millennials, to get them to share more content, to get them to be more of a part of the campaign. So, for example, what they could have done, they could have had a photographer or several photographers or video people at the event.
Live stream.
And they could live stream the event.
Yeah.
Or they could take a whole bunch of photos at the event and then put them on a separate Facebook page for each event. So, okay, I saw Bernie Sanders in Manchester, New Hampshire. So they could have had a special Facebook page or a section on the Bernie Sanders Facebook page that said, hey, here are the photos from Manchester, New Hampshire on such and such a date. And then, I found myself, and I would share it with people. But they never did that. They missed the opportunity to translate their event marketing to the online world. Hillary Clinton, though, did something really interesting to take the physical event of her campaign appearance and make it go online. I call her the selfie ninja. She's the selfie ninja because what she does is after her speech is over, what's called the rope line is where as far as people can get to the front. And I was actually on the very, very front. And so what Hillary Clinton does is she goes from one end of the rope line to the other. It takes about half an hour at the end of her speech. And if you're in the front row, you have a chance to meet her briefly, very, very briefly, 15, 20 seconds. But what she learned how to do is she learned that if she let somebody take a selfie with her, it took too long because they would be nervous. Oh, my God, I'm meeting Hillary Clinton. They'd be nervous or they wouldn't really know exactly what to do. She takes it for you.
Wow.
So she goes down the entire line. She'll take 200 selfies in 20 minutes.
Do you have a selfie with
her? I do. I have a selfie with Hillary Clinton. And she took it. Okay. And it's cool because what she realized is that anybody who got a selfie with her is going to post it on social, right? They're going to put it on Facebook or they're going to tweet it or whatever, they put it out on Snapchat or whatever they're going to do with it. And all of a sudden, wow, now I've got a selfie with Hillary. That's cool. So she can get hundreds of selfies in just a few minutes, whereas none of the other candidates did that. So she figured out a way to be able to get people to share her content by being the selfie ninja. And it was also pretty cool because at the I went to 2 Clinton events. The one event where I was in the front row, Bill Clinton was there too. And so Bill Clinton also worked the rope line, but he didn't take selfies, but he would let people take selfies with him. And then I was with my wife, in the middle of the front row, and Bill Clinton started from one side of the front row, to meet people, and Hillary Clinton started on the other side of the front row to meet people. And I said to my wife, oh my God, they're going to meet at us and they're going to be together. But actually, it was only two people away where they met. And that person got a selfie with both of them at the same time,
wow,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Donald Trump did something really interesting at his live events. At every live event, he said something that made news.
What? Oh, medic. Oh, go ahead. Take that. That's more important than all of this. Go ahead. A medic. Hopefully they're okay. Are they okay? They're okay? Oh, she just fainted. She's, you know what? That means she was excited. That's okay. Make sure she's good. Those are my best fans. The ones that faint, I love the most. That's fine. Okay, everything good over there? Okay, take your time. Take your time.
Lenders to your company lost over $1 billion and more than 1,100 people.
First of all, these lenders aren't babies. These are total killers. These are not the nice, sweet little people that you think, okay? You know, I mean, you're living in a world of the make-believe, Chris. You want to know the truth.
Here, and why don't you apologize for her?
No, I won't do that because I said nothing wrong, but I do hear she's a lovely woman.
Absolutely. So that's just so you understand. You know what that is? That's Jeb's special interest and lobbyist talking. We've spent, I only tell the truth, lobbyists. We've spent $5 trillion all over the middle. We have to rebuild our country. We have to rebuild our infrastructure. You listen to that,
right,
you're going to be there for another 15
years. All right, Governor Bush.
They lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, all right.
But I saw my mom. My mom is the strongest woman I know.
She should be running.
Not about.
Go ahead. Donald. Go ahead. Don't get nervous. Go ahead.
He was a failed candidate. He should have beaten President Obama very easy. He failed miserably, and it was an embarrassment to everybody, including the Republican Party.
We need toughness. Honestly, I think Jeb is a very nice person. He's a very nice person, but we need tough people. We need toughness. We need intelligence, and we need tough. Excuse me, am I allowed to finish?
None of the other candidates did that. Mm-hmm. The other candidates would just say their normal speech. And they would just, here's my speech, da-da-da-da-da. And the media that were following them would be almost asleep. Because they could almost repeat the speech. They've heard it so many times. Nothing's happening. It's boring. There's nothing to report of Hillary Clinton giving this speech for the 48th time this week. But Donald Trump at every speech would say something different.
Right.
And because he would say something different, the media was always focused on what is he going to say? What is he going to do? And at one of the events that I saw Trump speak at, he was talking to the audience and he paused and he goes, oh, there's the media back there. And he pointed to, it was about 100 members of the media, radio, newspaper people, a whole bunch of television cameras. And he goes, they're corrupt.
The dishonest mainstream media is also part and a major part of this corruption. They're corrupt. They lie and fabricate stories to make a candidate that is not their preferred choice look as bad and even dangerous as possible. At my rallies, they never show or talk about the massive crowd size and try to diminish all of our events. On the other hand, they don't show the small size of Hillary's crowds, but in fact, talk about how many people are there. Very small crowds. You know it. They know it. Everybody knows it. Over the last 2 days, three highly respected national polls said we're in first place. And one of those pollsters was the most accurate poll on the last two cycles. But the media refuses to even say it or put that word out. They refuse to talk about it. They're trying desperately to suppress my vote and the voice of the American people.
Can you imagine a presidential candidate saying the media is corrupt? Immediately it would make, of course, it makes news.
Mm-hmm.
And then the audience started chanting, CNN sucks.
Right.
CNN sucks. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Donald Trump just accused the media of being corrupt. And the entire audience has turned around facing the reporters. You, if you were there in the back, you would have gotten scared because there's 5,000 people pointing at you and saying you suck.
Mm-hmm.
But because he did that, every single news story that day led with Donald Trump calling the media corrupt. Every single newspaper the next morning on their front page
mm-hmm.
talked about Donald Trump being saying the media is corrupt. So Trump understood deeply that at every event he makes news, it gets him noticed. And then if he tweets in real time, he gets noticed. So he generated $5 billion of worth of free attention.
Wow.
You know, $5 billion.
Yep.
The nearest candidate was Hillary Clinton with only $2 billion.
But I guess they say no publicity is bad publicity. But
yeah.
It's just only his reputation, I guess, to accuse and make blanket statements. So, I mean, imagine if you as a company making statements like this.
I think that you as a company making a statement like that is not necessarily going to be the right approach. But what we can all learn from this is, number one, that every company should be real time.
Mm-hmm.
Most companies, when they plan their marketing and sales and public relations, do it in the future. They think, oh, next week I'm going to do an email campaign. Next month I'm going to do an advertising campaign. In 3 months I'm going to participate in this trade show. That's okay, but the problem is they don't think about what's going on right now, this second. And right now, people are interested in what's happening. They're looking at the news. They're watching social networks. They're in contact with their friends. And if you can do something in your business that gets noticed right now, that you have the potential to get into the news as well. I call that newsjacking.
Mm-hmm.
And so any company can do newsjacking. So you don't necessarily need to be as controversial as Donald Trump did by saying the media is corrupt. I mean, that's a technique you could use, but I don't think that most companies should use that technique. But it's possible.
Mm.
You could. Royal Jordanian Airlines, for example, have been doing something quite like that, like Donald Trump does. What they do is they look for a statement that Trump says, and then they tweet about it and put out a very quick advertisement on social networks. So when Trump banned Muslims from coming into the United States, Royal Jordanian Airlines made it I wouldn't call it an advertisement because they didn't pay to put it out, but they put on their Twitter a special fare, fly to America right now before Donald Trump closes down for Muslims. And then it said hashtag Muslim ban.
Yeah.
And there was a special price for either economy class and business class tickets on Royal Jordanian to get to American cities, which is really interesting. And it's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting in the face of the American president.
Yeah.
But it got them noticed. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who retweeted it.
Wow. So, okay, I guess Royal Jordanian Airlines did the newsjacking bit, which
yeah.
is what Donald Trump
and
does
they,
as
and
well.
And they newsjacked Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also real-time response is one of the key lessons.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
Just because 2 hours from now, it might be too late. Tomorrow is almost certainly too late.
Enterprise will be back in just a couple of minutes. We're taking a very short break. You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. You're tuned into Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. Final part of the interview with Angeline and David Meerman-Scott, the best marketing case study ever. Final portion where we can learn some of the takeaways, in fact, from following the U.S. presidential campaign for the last 18 months. Take it away, Angie.
What other things can we learn from Trump's campaign?
Another interesting thing is I'm going to ask you a quiz. I'm going to put you on the spot. What was Donald Trump's campaign slogan?
Make America great again.
Exactly. And everybody knows it. Today I was speaking at the Entrepreneurs Organization event, and I asked them, And everyone said, make America great again. Okay, how about this one? What was Hillary Clinton's campaign slogan?
Cricket.
Right.
No.
You don't know. And as I asked people what was Hillary Clinton's campaign slogan, nobody knew. It was stronger together. And you might remember if I say that, but what Donald Trump did very well was he figured a campaign slogan and then he said it again and again and again and again and again. It's like,
to all Americans tonight, in all of our cities and in all of our towns, I make this promise. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. God bless you and good night. I love you.
To everyone in the world, and we're here in Malaysia, and everybody knows it. You knew it instantly.
Yeah.
Everyone knew Make America Great
Again. We even
again.
Have a radio promo on right now, you know, talking about Trump making, well,
it's what he promised.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into that. Yeah. And I'm not going to go, I won't go into the politics of it, but the marketing of it is fascinating. So he wore those stupid red hats that said Make America Great Again, and people were wearing those hats all over. And so when I went to these campaign events with Trump, I would say to people, and I did this with Clinton and the other ones too, but I would say, why are you here? And he goes, I love Donald Trump. Why do you love Donald Trump? Because he's going to make America great again. So people knew that slogan. They understood that slogan. It was easy to understand. It was very much reaching a target demographic, which is exactly what marketers do. It was reaching, well, I call them buyer personas, but people who are specific target market that Trump identified, which are disenfranchised voters who are sick of politics, maybe hurting a little bit economically, maybe they lost their job or they don't feel like their job is so great, and they felt like Donald Trump could help them because he's going to make America great again. And Hillary Clinton and all of the other Republican candidates did not do that. So it was extremely clever. For him to figure out a slogan that resonated with people.
Yeah.
And then number two, say it again and again and again. When I was at the Trump event, I went to a couple of Trump events. When I was at one of them, he said, and we're going to make America. All he did was say the first word, make. And everyone shouted, make America great again. And everyone said, USA, USA, USA. And I was like, wow, the man, I call him a marketing genius. He's a marketing genius.
Yeah, the fact that, I mean, he knows how to come up with this very simple slogan that actually relates to the people that he's trying to target. And what I read online as well is that he reaches new voters, new people into the system.
Absolutely. I met at one event, I was waiting in line to go through the Secret Service, and I was next to an Iraq war veteran who lost his leg. So he had a metal leg. And I said, wow, this is an interesting guy. I said, why are you here? And he goes, I love Donald Trump. And he said, I've never voted before. He was probably 45 years old, I'm guessing. He had never voted before, ever. And he was at the Trump event. He had a Make America Great Again hat and a Trump T-shirt. And he had a Trump sticker on his false leg. Oh, my gosh. The guy is all into Trump. And he said, Donald Trump speaks to me. Donald Trump understands me. None of the other candidates have ever understood me. And so I was thinking to myself, this is really interesting. Trump has been able to identify a market. I mean, it's no different than selling a product.
Yeah.
Identify a market that no one else has identified, which are these disenfranchised people who had never even voted before. And that was the difference in the election. That extra few million people who Trump identified who probably haven't voted for a while or ever, and all of a sudden they're voting for him, and then that made the difference in the election. So he was brilliant at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a technique that any marketer can do. You know, rather than trying to be slightly better than your competition, forget about your competition. And instead, find a market that's underserved and create an opportunity for them.
Okay. And if you were just to summarize our session about Trump's campaign case study, right?
Yes.
So what are the just the three things that marketers should do?
Number one, identify, I call them buyer personas, identify the people that you're trying to reach, your buyer personas, and then create your marketing for them. Don't talk about your products and services, but create your marketing for them. So Trump identified this disenfranchised voter and then figured out what are the things that they will resonate with them. What are the things that will be interesting to them? Build a wall, for example, was something that he said all the time. We're going to bring back your jobs is something he said all the time. And so he figured that out really well. That's something that any marketer can do. Number two, make your marketing very simple. Make the words and phrases you use very simple. So make America great again, used again and again and again. And anybody can do that. Any marketer can do that. Come up, and it's not just a slogan, but come up with a way of describing what you're doing that's really easy for people to understand, that you say again and again and again, that appears on your website, that appears in your social media, and that you use again and again and again. Very important. But I think the number one most important thing that he did, which any marketer can do, is he was real time. He was talking about today. Mm-hmm. He was engaged with people right this second. So he would follow what the other candidates, the Republicans during the primary and then Hillary Clinton during the general election, what were they saying? He would comment on them. Mm-hmm. He would find out what was going on in the news. He would comment on it right away. He would say something in his rallies that he knew would get attention because it was all – he knew tomorrow doesn't matter, yesterday doesn't matter. It's all about right now, today. And that's a huge lesson for all marketers to take away.
Yep, and Trump, the marketing genius.
Marketing genius. I never thought I would say that, but Donald Trump is a marketing genius. It's very interesting when I was talking about Trump in the early days. People say, you're crazy. He's never going to win. Yeah, I said, wait a minute. He's the best marketer. He could very well win.
And he did.
And he did.
Yep. And also one last question, very curious. Is Donald Trump manning his own Twitter account?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, because he has got that machine in his hot little hand and he is using it himself. The other thing that's really interesting is he also he tweets using the POTUS Twitter ID. So he has real Donald Trump is his personal Twitter ID, but also POTUS, which stands for President of the United States, mm-hmm. is also a Twitter ID. And sometimes he'll tweet something pretty radical out of the POTUS Twitter ID. And that's the same ID that Obama also used. Mm-hmm. He had his own private Barack Obama Twitter ID, but then he also used the POTUS ID.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting to me.
Yeah.
I asked Barack Obama a question on Twitter once, and he answered live in a news conference.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Speaking of real time, I asked President – I just – on Twitter, I said, President Obama, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, I want to answer a question from David on Twitter. Whoa, that's cool. And I didn't even know he was going to answer the question.
Okay, because I was I would always assume that there's always a group of people that's handling the social media for, you know, people with personalities, people like Donald Trump, people like celebrities, I don't know.
In the case of President Obama, there were people who were handling his social media. I'm not sure if he actually used the keyboard himself. But every once in a while, he would decide that he wanted to tweet something. And if he tweeted it himself, because it was something he thought of, at the end it said B-O.
Oh.
And that meant that Barack Obama himself did the tweet. But every other tweet from the Barack Obama account and the POTUS account was from people who worked for him. It was not him directly.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a picture from a campaign, from a stop. Like if he was traveling, they would take a picture. They would put it on his Twitter ID. That didn't come from Barack Obama himself.
Mm-hmm.
With President Trump and the real Donald Trump feed, there might be some things like pictures or whatever that were sent by his staff. But very definitely, he is sending a lot of those tweets, especially the ones that come out at 3 a.m. I mean, that's pure Donald Trump, all him.
Thank you so much for your time.
You got it. Thank you.
That was Angeline Tay speaking to marketing guru David Meerman Scott. Stay tuned. More coming up here on Enterprise in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.